It was now more than 2 months since Catherine had battled to give her evidence from her sickbed. The intervening weeks had wrought havoc with her body. I looked at the shrunken face, arms, form, the shapeless jaw and mouth. Griffin remembered as he entered her makeshift bedroom. A glance at her skeleton outline beneath the coverlet makes you wonder if she will see the week out. Yet, as Catherine fluttered open her eyes and fixed them on the reporter, he realised that she had more grit in her than he'd thought. Mrs. Donahue, this remnant of a woman, took on her role as president of this strange society, he later wrote. She lay motionless, but she was businesslike. "Please publish this," she said candidly. "I want you, when you write about us, to put in a good word for our lawyer, Mr. Grossman." She was commanding. Her voice at this meeting, Griffin said, was brisk and strong. Grossman had paid for the entire legal proceedings himself, including the continuing expenses of the appeal, and Catherine wanted to be sure he would be rewarded with publicity, at least. "You hear the voice of the Society of the Living Dead," Grossman himself now intoned. "That is the voice of the ghost women, speaking not only here in this room, but to the world. This voice is going to strike the shackles off the industrial slaves of America. You girls have rights to better laws. That's what the society is going to work for." Griffin interviewed them all. Each woman had her own heart-rending story. "I'd hate to tell you how I feel now," Marie sighed. "My ankles and jaw pain me all the time." "I don't know what day is going to be my last," said Olive anxiously. "I lie at night, staring at the ceiling and thinking maybe it's my last on earth." It is an effort to do things in the ordinary way, to act normally, confessed Pearl. "I don't show it, but at present I am nervous and shaking. What I have lost, I can never recover." "I am missing so much," she almost cried out. "The chance of being a mother again. I can never be the mother and wife that my fine husband deserves." As for Catherine, she suddenly burst out with just 3 words. "All are gone." Perhaps, like Catherine Sharp, she had a chorus of ghost girls playing in her head. Ella and Peg and Mary and Inez. "The words," remarked Griffin, "came unexpectedly and strong." There was silence again. For Tom Donahue, listening in, it was too much. He spoke up bitterly, his voice quivering. "We've got humane societies for dogs and cats, but they won't do anything for human beings," he spat out. "These women have souls." Griffin asked one final question before he took his leave. "How do you keep up your morale?" It was Catherine who answered, unexpectedly, with startling effect and strength. "By our faith in God," she said. But though Catherine's faith was as strong as it had ever been, as the days went by, her body weakened. Just a week or so later, she wrote to Pearl, "Try to write sooner, but somehow I can't write any more. It is so difficult for me to get up for any length of time, and when I do, I'm all in for a week afterwards." The continuing legal trouble was not helping her. "I only wish my case was through with," she said wistfully. "Lord knows I need the medical care. And need it badly."